I'd like to share with you something very relevant to every single person here.
Eshet Hayil, Ish Hayil, young person.
In this week's parasha that we just read, we see the well-known story of Abraham and Sarah basically arguing about the fate of Ishmael, Hagar's son. The pasuk says that Sarah saw that the son of Hagar Hamitzrit, the Egyptian lady, seems like the Egyptian part of Hagar was coming out in Ishmael. She saw that he was Metzahek. Mitzahek means he was laughing. I don't really want to get into it right now, but it sounds like he was not laughing to have a good time or enjoy himself. He was laughing maybe like a
person who belittles things, laughs at things that are important,
which is a very bad influence to be around. That's all the Torah describes about Ishmael. He was Mitzahek. Seems that this Metzahek is such a bad thing that it's enough. Enough said. And she tells Abraham, Garesh ha'ama hazot. You need to get this lady out of our house. Ve'et bena. And you need to get rid of her son. Ki lo yirash ben ha'ama hazot im beni im Yitzhak. My son and this boy cannot be together. Understandably so, Abraham, the Baal Hesed, the man who feeds the world, the man who spent his whole life helping society and helping those in need, and now he's being asked to throw and expel his son out of his own home. For any person, that's a very difficult thing to do. For Abraham, it's times, many times over. He didn't appreciate. Pasuk says, "Vayera hadavar meod behene Abraham al odot beno." Abraham was very bothered by this request for his son. Ishmael is his son. Vayomer Elohim el Abraham. Hashem tells Abraham, "Don't be upset. Listen to Sarah in this subject. Kol asher tomar elecha Sarah shema bekola, the famous words. Whatever she tells you, you listen. Ki be Yitzhak yikare lecha zara. It's Yitzhak that is your future. And this future is at risk with Ishmael with him. For Abraham's credit, Vayashkem Abraham Baboker, he woke up early in the morning as if he was going to do something that he was excited to do. And he took some water and bread and he gave to Hagar Sam al Shikhma. He put the food on her shoulder, Ve'et Hayeled, and the child. The pasuk says that in the desert, they ran out of water. Batashlech et hayeled. So she threw the child tahat ahad asihim, under one of the trees. Ki amra, she says, al ere bemot hayeled. I do not want to see the death of the child. Pasuk continues next and says, Vayishma Elohim et kol hana'ar. Hashem heard the sound or the voice of the na'ar, of this boy. And he tells Hagar, I'm skipping around, and he says, Al tirei, do not be afraid. Kishama Elohim et kol hana'ar. Because Hashem has heard the voice of the Na'al, of this boy. Kumi, get up, he's telling his mother. Se'i et ha-Na'al, carry the Na'al, carry this boy. And she did. She found a well of water. Vatashk et ha-Na'al, and she gave the Na'al to drink. I don't know if you were noticing when I was reading the Pesukim that Ishmael went from a yeled, a child. The word child in English comes from the Hebrew word yeled, is described as a yeled. That's the way Hagar viewed her child. Vatashlech et hayeled. She threw the yeled. Al ere bemot hayeled. I don't want to see the child die. But when God speaks to her right away, the malach, the angel, tells her, Kishama Elohim, Hashem has heard El Kol HaNa'at. He heard the voice of the Na'ar. Hagar, no Yeled. You call him Yeled, but he's not a Yeled. He's a Na'ar. Now we translate it basically the same thing, but it's not the same word. Again, he tells her, Kumi, get up. Se'i et ha-Na'al. Carry the Na'al. Not the Yeled. And she seems to have gotten the message, because when she gave him to drink, it says, Vatashk et ha-Na'al. What is the difference between Yeled and Na'al? There's something very, very powerful in these words that no great person, no great woman is going to be able to reach something very special without these words. It could be some instinctively know what these words mean. But getting clarity in this issue is the difference between a great father, a great mother, and a great person. You see, the word yeled comes from the word yoledet, yalad. Yalad means to give birth. Yeled is the product of yoledet. A yeled is defined by the act that produced him. Why is he a yeled? Because I came from a yoledet. I am the birth of someone who gave birth to me. I'm called a yeled. A yeled is someone who receives. He receives life, he receives care, but does not generate it. A na'ar is something totally different. The word na'ar comes from the word Vayna'er Par'o et Mitzrayim, to stir, to awaken, like a person is up, he's air, he's called, he woke up, he's awake. A na'ar is not someone who is dependent on someone else's care. A na'ar is someone who's creating. Anat is someone who's alive from within themselves. Was Yishmael a yelet or was he Anat? Is this an older person that was independently walking around, creating worlds, creating buildings, creating relationships, creating success? Or was he a yelet? Was he a child in need of his mother's care? What was he? Well, listening to Hagar, he seems to have been a little kid. A yela that she was taking care of him. But the Malach says, even when you have a yela, you need to understand that there is a na'ar in there. You need to look at your child, not the way he is right now. Right now he looks like a little kid. Right now he looks like a child, but don't be deceived by his looks.
Sorry.
Because somewhere in him, there is a na'ar. It's not something he has to receive. It's already in him. And you have to be constantly seeing the na'ar in your child. They may be 2 years old, but there's a na'ar in there. And it's your obligation, and it's his future success that someone brings that na'ar out of him, that independence out of him, that greatness out of him. So often in life, people will say things like, oh, he's just a kid. The he's just a kid syndrome basically allows for kids to do whatever they want under the license of he's just a kid. Let him sleep. He's just a kid. Now, how long does a kid last in America? That's a very big question. There are people in their 30s and 40s that are just a kid. I remember once, years ago, it was a shock to me because I never saw it. I was about 19 years old. I grew up in a house where there were expectations. There were no kids in the house. If you had to get up, you had to get up. And if you didn't get up, you got like worried what's going to happen next. So now I'm 19 years old. I imagine everyone had the same type of house. I have no idea. And I'm knocking on someone's door. I had to share a message with somebody. I don't remember exactly what. It was in the summer. I'm knocking on someone's door Friday morning. It must have been 11:30. Or 12 o'clock. And I'm knocking on the door and the mother answers. So he says, I'd like to, is Joe home? I says, Joe, I think he's sleeping. I'm like, oh, okay. She says, oh, I'll just wake him up. And I hear the father in the other room. Now, if you told me the father's going to say something, he just found out his son is sleeping. It's 11:30. And he's going to go crazy. And I hear him telling his wife, yelling at her, leave the kid alone. The man was 25, 26. He works hard. Leave him alone. He's a kid. I remember at the times I was like blown away, like, wow, what is this? Then I realized after that most Americans are like this.
I don't know if that's an exaggeration.
But unfortunately, in this country, there are a lot of little kids. Whether it's waking up, whether it's responsibility, a lot of things are thrown under the rug of the just kid. But the Torah says there is no such thing as just a kid. When you're looking at a kid, you're looking at a na'ar. You'd be much more successful if you saw there's something very beautiful and very big in him now. Of course, the expectations have to be child appropriate, but there has to be expectation because that child is on their way to be a na'ar. And if we don't see him as a na'ar, that may take a very long time. A na'ar is someone, I must read for you the words of Rabbeinu Yonah. Listen to these words. The great Rabbeinu Yonah says, Hapeta Harishon. He says, the first door. The first door, he's talking about the first door of a great person. The first door of a great life. The first door. What does he mean when he says the first door? When you walk into a big building, it's got a lot of doors, maybe hundreds. But if you don't go into the first door, you're not in the building. You're somewhere else. He says the first door to greatness. What is the first entry that without this door, you're lost in many doors, but you're not in the right place? He says, Sheyeda ha'ish, that the person must know Erech Atzmo. He must know his value. Beyakir Ma'alato. And they must know their quality. Which means that the greatness of a person first begins with their clarity that their greatness is already inside of them. It's not something that they need to acquire from the outside. Greatness is already here. It just has to be brought out. That is the first entry. Meaning if a person doesn't realize how great they are, if you don't realize how great is what's in you and what it could become, then you haven't begun the first door of reaching a great life. A great life in general and also in specific areas. A great marriage, a great husband, a great wife, a great friend, a great servant of God, a person of great character. Anything that has to do with the word great must begin, says Rabbeinu Yonah, must begin with a person who sees that greatness already inside of him. It's there. That's what a na'ar is. A na'ar is a person who knows they just have to move towards their greatness. A yeller is someone that's relying and waiting for greatness to happen because it's nothing to do with them. Greatness will happen when someone gives me money. Greatness will happen when my wife becomes normal. Greatness will happen when my husband becomes decent. Greatness will happen when my friends stop being more respectful. Greatness will happen when things turn around in my life. Well, all those things have nothing to do with you. That's a yelling. A yelet is someone who's relying on someone, on something, for things to happen in their life. You could be 75 years old and a yelet. And you could be a young boy and you're a na'al. A na'al is someone who understands that the greatness of anything that I'm involved in is right here inside of me. The petah rishon, that means the greatest gift you can give your son or daughter, and of course yourself, is to go in this petah. Because otherwise, the child element doesn't graduate. It just gets camouflaged with age. You look bigger, you look smarter, you're doing big things, but you're still in many ways a yelet. Think about a little 9-month-old infant crawling on the floor. It's obvious that this little child thinks there are two types of people. There are people who walk, and then there is him. He's from those who don't walk. I mean, he sees around the world there are cats and there are dogs and there are all different types of people. Some are taller, some are shorter. Everyone's got different things about them. And then there are people who walk. And he's not one of those people. And that's it. When will a child one day decide that he's going to get up on his feet and start walking? When will that happen? The answer is never. Because he is not in his mind a person who walks. And the proof is he doesn't walk. So since he doesn't walk, it's obvious that they're not from those people. Now left alone, he'll be that way for many years to come. On his own, it's unless someone like a mother or father or somebody says, come on, you could walk. What are you talking about? You're not from the people who don't walk. You don't have to go to school to become a person who walks. The walking is already here. Sir, you're a na'ar, you could walk. He doesn't believe it. You pick him up, he falls down. He's not interested. I can't do this. And of course, someone who believes in the na'ar of that aspect of his life believes and knows they can, and they keep going, and they look at him not as a yelet. You see, for walking, it's easy. For walking, it's easy to see the na'ar in your child. You know he's not a yelet. You know, he's not going to be holding on to you forever. So you help him get that walking out of himself. And all of a sudden, he's walking. Hashem gave us such examples in life to understand the difference between a yelad and a na'ar. But walking is a very simple example, and we're supposed to be learning from it many other things that very often we do ignore. There are many different types of walking in a person's life. And if someone doesn't believe in them that they have it, it will not come out, at least not for a long time. Let me give you a very powerful example of what it means to give your son or daughter or grandchild or son or student the ability to walk on their own and not be a yelad. You know, one of the critical human necessities is called kavod. That's really what Rabbeinu Yonah is talking about. Kavod means that I have self-value. Kavod doesn't mean I look for
respect from others. I only look for kavod from others when I'm starving of kavod from within me. When I have my own value being generated inside of me, I don't need other people to give me value. But when I'm running on empty, when I'm starving because I'm not generating enough inner value, so I need to beg other people to give me some value. That's the way kavod works. So usually when we hear about kavod, we hear about negative kavod. We hear about running away from kavod. We talk about kavod taking a person out of the world. All of that is talking about a person who's starving for value, and therefore they need to beg others to notice them. That is extremely unhealthy and extremely dangerous in many ways. But real kavod, authentic kavod, kavod that comes from the inside, that's generated by the person, not only is that important, without it, a person will not be able to live a normal life. They may not be able to live altogether. No less than food and drink does a person need to feel value. How does a person generate value from within themselves? Like, where is that machine exactly? I'd love to have that feeling of value, and I don't care what that one says and what that one commented and what that one... That doesn't bother me, because the same way I don't care if the rats outside are doing certain things or the squirrels are doing... It doesn't matter to me. I love them all, but it doesn't affect me. How can I walk around this world and be unaffected by anyone's comments and anyone's ideas? Of course, I respect all and I want to learn from all, but I don't have that kind of connection that everything that someone does or says is going to affect me. Because if you do that, you've given the key of your happiness to other people. You said, here's the key. Whenever you want to ruin my life, go ahead. It's not the deal. You want to say a word that's going to destroy my day? Go ahead. Here it is. You want to not invite me to something that I thought I should be invited to? Go for it. Here you go. Imagine giving your keys out to a million people. And anytime they want to enter that safe and destroy you, they can. That is suicidal. Why would anyone do that? But if a person doesn't have self-value, they have no choice. So where do you generate this self-value, this inner kavod? This self-value is generated by the person's accomplishments. No, not by their height, not by their looks, not by their muscle, not by their brilliance, because all of those things have nothing to do with them. That's not their personal accomplishment. If God made you beautiful, it's not your accomplishment. That doesn't produce real value. It may make you feel good because other people are noticing. But that's, again, that's unhealthy kavod. Real kavod doesn't come from anything that someone gave you, including what God gave you. You could be thankful for what God gave you, but you can never generate value from what He gave you. The only way you could generate value is if you become valuable. Like if you do things of value. Like, for example, you used to be an angry person and you developed yourself and became calm. Oh, wow. That generates value. That you became a good friend to others. Like you really care about people. That's value. You became a servant of God. That's value. You have wisdom. That's called value. You honor your parents, value. You know how to give up of yourself for something that's greater than you, value. Whatever you do
produces value in you. And the more value that a person produces every day, the more powerful they are. And just as importantly, they're now entering the door of Rabbeinu Yonah. Because Rabbeinu Yonah says, you want to become great? You got to have value for yourself. Well, how do I get value for myself? It means you gotta start producing. And as you start producing, you start seeing the greatness here. When you come to that clarity that you're a valuable person, even if you're not there yet, even if you're not walking yet, but I know I could walk. Even though I'm not there yet, but I know I could be that. Value doesn't only mean I'm already there. It means I know that it's in there. Now you're walking through the doors of greatness. Now your children are set up for life to be on their own. But it's a big problem. You see, when a child, a yeled, is little, the same way they cannot produce food, and therefore you have to cook for them, and they can't even drink milk, and you have to prepare it for them, and they can't go shopping, so you gotta shop for them. That's obvious. But all those are just an example of the most important thing that you need to give them that they don't have the ability to get on their own. You see, a little child isn't mature-minded to appreciate their value. They're just not. And even if they do things that are valuable, they don't have the maturity to translate their valuable actions into value of themselves because they're a child and they're not mature. So they can be doing beautiful things, but it doesn't generate the feeling of value because of their lack of maturity. Just like they could eat, but someone's got to feed them. You know what that does for a father and mother once they recognize this? They start realizing that when they're little, I have to be able to express to them the na'ar in them. I have to be able to point out to them the great value that they have. How do I do that? Well, I could talk to them, but stop. They don't really get it like that. But if I can, every time I catch them doing something valuable, I point it out to them and say, wow, that is so valuable in their language. Oh, that is so special. Well, I can't believe your sister just pushed you and you didn't push back. Wow, that is so special. He knows he did that. He doesn't know that it's special. I can't believe that you sat in a room for 20 minutes and you didn't argue and you didn't fight. That's, wow, that is so valuable. Of course, you have to mean it. It's got to be sincere. That's why when they get older, it's very hard to give the same types of compliments. Because as people get older, they become suspicious. So when you start telling them compliments, they're saying, what happened? What do you want from me? Trying to make me feel good? I don't like that. As they get older, it gets very complicated. They have all these kinds of fences they put on. But when they're little, if you see a child in your house, you can't invest the way they need you to invest. You have to see the beauty in them. You have to see the na'ar in them. You have to see in that kid something so precious and so valuable. And you've got to take the opportunity whenever you can on their level to point that out. Wow, the way you ate and you didn't make a mess. You were so careful and not disturbing other people. The way you went to sleep and the way you woke up and the way you figured out. But what that's doing, you're not trying to make them feel good. I mean, it's very good also to make them feel good. But it's much bigger than that. It's a mother and father that's seeing the na'ad here. The same mother who saw a kid walking before he walked. What's the difference between him and her? She sees him walking and he doesn't. Someone's got to show him that he could walk. And it is that way in everything. Someone's got to show him he can be calm. Someone's got to show him he can be responsible. Someone's got to show him he could learn. Someone's got to show him he can control himself. And on and on and on. Fortunate is the child that grew up with a parent who saw the na'ar. Not just a kid. Not just a kid. Not just a kid. He's very big. He just needs someone to help him get it. And when they're little, only somebody else can help them. So many examples. Doesn't have to be big things. It could be grandma's best job. It could be a neighbor. It doesn't matter if you really care about people. It's anybody. Hashem told Hagar, you're making a mistake. The way you look at your son, you see a helpless yelet. If you had better vision than you saw a na'ar, you'd be so much better at what you do. Kumi se'iyat ana'a. Go pick up your son. Pick up the future, something bigger than you're looking at today. Petach Rishon, the first opening of becoming somebody. You have to know that greatness is already here. Just got to open it. And for a child, somebody else has to open that door. Of course, when a person didn't have such wisdom in his house, which is very likely, because most people either didn't learn, didn't gain this wisdom for whatever reason, not bad people, just ignorance. Not everyone studied this class. Not everyone's present when they have a child to understand what they actually have in front of them. So of course they feed them and they give them everything under the sun, except the most important thing. Only the Yetzirah could do this. That you can give your children pretty much everything, except the most important. But that's the way of the world. But that's for a different discussion. If a person is a product where they didn't receive the na'ar focus when they were little, they were just a kid for many years, for whatever reason, well, it's time for them to see it on their own. Now the halakha says that a father is obligated to give his son a brit milah. It's a mitzvah for the son. But who's going to do it? A father. So what happens if a kid wakes up one day and realizes his father didn't do what he's supposed to do? He didn't give him brit milah. He ignored his obligations. So what does the son say? Well, my father do it. It's his thing. So I do. No, no. Torah says, no, no. Now you got to do it. He didn't do it. You have to do it. That's not just in brit milah. It's in everything in life.
You could walk around saying, "Why, parents didn't give it to me. They treat me like a kid. They didn't give me this. They always blame me instead of complimenting me. They always tell me that." Unfortunately, we do not only we don't do it, we do the opposite. We love to point out all the negative things, but sometimes we may have to.
So what do you do now? Okay, so that's okay, that's the way I was raised.
Well, now you gotta do it. You have to realize yourself that you might be a yelled at 50 years old. Well, okay, you're walking. So you did good there.
But there's a lot more to you than walking. There's a lot more things about me and you that haven't yet been open. There's a lot more simha inside of us that hasn't been yet realized. There's a lot more kindness inside that hasn't been yet done. There's a lot more strength in us that we haven't yet seen. There's a lot more here. Whatever we have is a lot more there. You're a na'an. No more yilid. Whatever I learn, whatever I hear, whatever I understand, whatever I see, you know what? Most times when people learn something, they say, "Oh, well, yeah. I mean, yeah, that's what they, I mean, I don't know how they do it. It's unbelievable. How do they do that? How do they stay like that? How do they control themselves like that? How are they always happy? How are they so strong? How are they?" Most often in life, we look at greatness as something that is there, over there. Such a great home. Such a great marriage, such great children, such a great this. There. What about you? No, it's not that. I'm not that. That's them. That's called a yelled. That's a yelled attitude. A yelled is someone who's still connected to someone else's accomplishments. A na'ar goes to a class, learns something, understand something, see something, and say, "Oh, wow, I didn't know I could do that. I didn't know that it's possible for me to accomplish that. I see that they do it, so that means I could do it too. If they walk, it means I could also walk. We come from the same place, the same soul. I could also do that." And all of a sudden, a person starts to change his view of himself. You're a na'ar. Let me just share with you with this, I end. How in the Torah, again and again, we see how special it is to be a na'ar. Ele toledot Yaakov, says the Torah, Parashat Vayeshe, these are the children of Yaakov. Yosef, the first child they talk about is Yosef. And the Pasuk says he was a shepherd. Vehu na'ar. Yosef, you know what? You know why Yosef is? He's a na'ar. A na'ar is something very special. He's a man who understood that in him, there was something that can feed the world. That's why he had dreams of being a king. Those dreams came from a recognition that this is something that he himself had already. Moshe Rabbeinu is born. Vatiftah, vatirehu et hayeled. She went to see the yeled. That's what the daughter of Paro was looking to find. She's looking to find a yeled, a child. Vehine na'ar boche. It seems that Moshe Rabbeinu already from a very little young age had something special about him. He was a na'ar. Yoshua Binun that took over after Moshe Rabbeinu. Shareto, says the Torah, the servant of Moshe, Yehoshua Binun, na'ar lo yamish mitoch ha'ohel. A na'ar that wouldn't move from Moshe Rabbeinu.
Yeshua sure was not a little boy. He was the Shamosha Moshe Rabbeinu, the servant of Moshe Rabbeinu. Yet he's called a Na'ar. Shemuel, the great Shemuel HaNavi, his mother Hannah brought him to the Mishkan. That was her promise, her commitment. She's going to bring him back. Vatevi'ehu bet Hashem. Shiloh, she brought her son to the house of Hashem in Shiloh. Ve'hana'ar, na'ar. I don't know what that means. Not for today's class. Ve'hana'ar, na'ar. Go figure out what that means. And the boy is a boy, obviously. There's something else that. So that's the boy. Ve'hana'ar, na'ar.
Pasuk says in Hosea,
Hashem says to the Jewish people, Ki na'ar Yisrael va'ohavehu. Hashem says, I love these people. You know why I love these people? Because they are na'ar.
Seems to be part of our
Jewish DNA. Not necessarily is it automatically awake.
There are a lot of great things about us that are sleeping. This seems to be one of the great traits of the Jewish people.
Hashem says, you know why I love these people?
Ki na'ar Yisrael. Because they are na'ar. Because when people in the world say it's not possible, we say, of course it is. Our history has been full till today as we live. And we see the Jewish people exceed what others say is normal. What others say is possible. You know why? Because we're na'ar.
Because we don't care if we have people running after us. We don't care that we're escaping. We're building as we're escaping. We're raising as things are being destroyed. Because we don't see things as they are. We see something much greater that is already inside every one of us. Ki na'ar Yisrael va'ohavehu. Yisrael is a na'ar, Hashem says. And that is why
I love him. I believe that these words that we share today are one of the most important things that we could share with another human being. Both about people they care about, and of course the one they care about most, themselves. To understand that Hashem created every one of us with tremendous energy and tremendous power to become something very, very big in any and every area. And like Rabbi Yonah says, the key is to go into the door. And that door is called, I know there is a very big na'ar in me. Even though yet I don't walk, but I know I can. And if I know I can, says Rabbi Yonah, then it's a matter of time when you will. At all ages, for all people, ki na'ar Yisrael, ba'ohavehu. Have a wonderful dance.